Welcome to episode 7 of WP Mainline for Friday, August 13th, 2021. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Malcolm Peralti, the ever so elusive but very lucky Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious?
Not typically, no. I don't know why my brain always sticks on a Friday the 13th. I'm like, oh, it's a Friday the 13th because they never happen. I don't know why.
Yeah, really. I think the horror movie craze kind of put all the relevance to Friday the 13th. I've never found it to be an unlucky day or a day where bad things happen. I mean, hey, it's a Friday, so we got that going for us. you can't really hate on a Friday. I think worse things happen more on a full moon than on a Friday the 13th.
You're probably right.
Yeah. That gravitational pull messes with people's heads, man. I tell you, there's actually research out there that shows that during a full moon, like calls to 911 and hospital visits, it's just people go crazier. I don't know, something to do with the full moon. There's research out there about it.
Yeah, but you gotta wonder if it's a cause and effect thing, right? Is it the moon, or is it people deciding because the moon is that way that they can act a little bit more silly?
Oh well, I don't know. Perhaps you have a point. All right, last week, I covered a lot of things. Me and John, James, Jacoby just kind of had one of those episodes where we're just, I had no show notes, and we decided to just riff it, and it turned out okay. We had things to get off our chest, and I think people always enjoy those kind of episodes where they get to hear the real deal and hear what people were experiencing and whatnot, so it was fun to do that. I mentioned the Perseid meteor shower, and last night was the peak of the meteor shower, and I thought that it was going to be pretty cloudy here. In fact, it was, but between about 2 to 4 a.m. it cleared out. There's a patch of clear skies here, and I was able to see about 30 meteors, and about 10 of those were really bright and had those tails that look like glitter that fade away. It looks like smoke in the sky. I gotta tell you, folks, seeing those meteors, it's just awesome every year. And it's night, it was warm, and I had a breeze, and I'm surprised I didn't fall asleep in the driveway. But yeah, the Perseid meteors, it's supposed to be perfect weather this weekend around here, so we're going to try and get out and look at them again. I actually saw quite a few of them a week before the peak, so if you folks have a chance to get out there and look at them, I highly, highly recommend it, because, you know, usually during the year, you look up at the night sky, and you're just hoping and hoping and hoping and waiting and waiting and waiting to see something. At least this time, you're pretty much guaranteed to see something. If you stare up there long enough, within, you know, 20-30, you got to give it about 20-30 minutes. But I live like 10 miles south of Cleveland, and it was dark enough here to where I could see Jupiter, I could see Saturn, there's no moon. Oh man, it was quite the show.
No doubt. And that's, I think, a super important part of it, is making sure that you're kind of out of the city area.
That's stupid light pollution.
Get that really nice dark sky effect. Yeah, for sure.
You know, what I need to do is get some plane tickets to go down to Carl Hancock's house down in Costa Rica, because he could see the Milky Way from his house.
I know, it's crazy the pictures that he can get on his phone, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I want an iPhone that takes, or some kind of phone that takes pictures like that at night. You know, I take a lot of pictures via my phone. I rely on my phone a lot for taking pictures. And I'm a night owl, so there's a lot of opportunities and times where I like to take pictures at night. But this iPhone XR and previous iPhones I've had, their night pictures suck. But if you look at what like Samsung phones produce, some of the newer ones, holy moly, man, just insane image quality. But apparently Carl has one of the newest iPhones, and his nighttime photos actually look pretty good. So I think it's the iPhone 12.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I'm not sure. All right, so we might as well get on to some WordPress stuff, because, you know, that's what this show is kind of all about.
What's
going on during the week? We'll start off with an experience I had last week related to the Gutenberg block editor. And I was writing a post for WP Mainline, and I was in a situation where I wanted to copy a section of a quote from another website, which was a paragraph, an ordered list. It might have been an unordered list, and then a paragraph, and then paste that into my editor. And I was able to do that, but it turned everything into just like a paragraph block, you know, one separate paragraph block, or it did something weird. So what I tried to do was transform that text, that single area of text, into a quote block, because that's essentially what I wanted. Even though I split everything up into three blocks, I wanted it to just be a quote block. Well, it turns out that, you know, when you click on the transform tool, after selecting those three blocks, it's not an option. You can either turn them into a group of blocks or columns. And, you know, this is just another one of those experiences in the block header that just makes no sense to me. So I said, okay, you know, how difficult is it to do this in the classic editor? So I fired up a test instance of WordPress, installed the classic editor plugin, and copied the text, wrapped a quote around it. Very easy. I mean, it accomplished what I set out to do. Apparently, there's a lot more going on with these blocks and what in the relationships between them, which causes these types of issues versus the classic editor that just wrapped some block quote lines around a bunch of text or whatever it is you wanted to wrap around. The block editor being a lot more sophisticated, leading to cases like this. But it still, the block editor needs some work. And, you know, I was expecting it to just work. You know, I'd highlight this text and put it into a transform it into a quote block. And that wasn't possible. And boy, that was that made me scratch my head. And what do you know? I wrote about it.
Yeah. I mean, these are the kinds of issues that I probably deal with troubleshooting tickets in my business, probably on at least a weekly, if not like multiple times a week kind of basis.
Why can't I do this? I highlighted this. I clicked this button. Why doesn't it work?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and then I'm telling them, you know, you got to backspace and get it all into the same.
There's a hidden press. You got to do the Konami code.
Yeah. It seems really silly and really frustrating for the end user. And even myself, like I have to learn like, okay, how do we make an end run around this? Or what is like the bypass or what is the fix for this? And it doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't make the software look good. It stops their publishing process. And I think you and I have talked about it before. When you're in a flow, the last thing that you want is to run into some issue like this, because it totally throws you off. It totally stifles any kind of creativity. It slows down any progress. And it might get you to the point of frustration where you're looking for a different way to publish content. And that's really unfortunate, because it's not like Gutenberg is new anymore. And I don't think that what you were looking for or requesting is outside of the sphere of what should have existed. And I think you prove that when you use the classic editor plugin and use the old WYSIWYG editor that was baked into WordPress for years and years and years, and we're able to do it just fine. And I get that Gutenberg has complexities to it. I get that it adds additional features, but this is not the kind of user experience that we want someone new coming to WordPress to ever have to deal with. That is such a bummer kind of experience.
That's right. If I run into one more problem like this, I'm going to Classic Press. That's it. I've had it. That's
it. And so, WP Mainline would be the CP Mainline, I guess?
Oh, ooh. Yeah, I'm going to have to do a complete rebranding. I'm going to have to probably not do that.
And then Canadian Pacific Railway comes after you and they're like, hey, man, you can't use CP in your name because we own CP.
You know, so I don't know if I want to talk about this, but well, all right, I'll throw it out there. I'll see who pays attention to the show. But if you look at the branding of WP Mainline, you'll notice that I think it's in the eye. There's like a feather, and that's a throwback to Western Pacific Railroad, WP. Yep. So it's pretty cool. A little bit of an Easter egg, and I thought it was really cool to kind of slide that in there. Nobody's questioned me about it or has brought it up, but now you know. The secret's out. Ooh. So when I ask you about it, you better know the answer.
And if they don't, then we know they don't listen to your show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Peter Wilson, I follow him on Twitter. He's a avid WordPress contributor, has been for a long time. He brought up an issue that you know comes up every now and again. It's sort of like the cycle of WordPress things to bring up and to mention. But he says in a tweet, quote, stop at capital P underscore dang it, which is a Twitter account about the capital P dang it filter. And he says the WordPress ecosystem's obsession with case is one of the ugliest things about it. It's unhelpful and unwelcoming and simply needs to stop, end quote. And what he's talking about is there's a Twitter account called capital P underscore dang it. And it's just a bot, I found out.
Yeah.
And when people on Twitter spell WordPress with a lowercase p instead of camel case in it, which is the correct spelling of the word or the trademark term, the bot kind of mentions it and said, it just says capital P, dang it, or something to that effect, which could be derogatory and what have you. And what this did is it kind of created yet another conversation around the whole notion of camel casing. And over the years, what we've seen is if you spell WordPress with a lowercase p, it makes you look unprofessional. At least that's the perspective of many throughout the WordPress scene. And B, it kind of makes you look like you have no idea what you're doing or what you're saying. C, it's just a misspelling. I mean, it's not the correct way to write WordPress. And a number of years ago, the capital P dang it filter was added to WordPress so that anytime you would write an article and use lowercase p in the WordPress, it would automatically switch it to the correct version of WordPress. And, you know, truth be told, if you go back in Google and you look at the history, I wrote about this and I was against it. And I said, no, I don't think that this particular filter should have a say into how I write my content. Even though it's correcting it and whatnot, you know, that should be my choice. How I write WordPress should be ultimately my choice, not the software's. And I still kind of feel that way. But we've seen throughout the conversation here on this particular tweet that guess who chimed in? One of your favorite people, Carl Hancock.
Yeah.
And he says, quote, the fact that and he's talking to somebody else who mentions that they had just joined Automattic, and when they did a presentation, they accidentally spelled WordPress with a lowercase p.
Oh, no.
And this person said that they were notified of it gently, but then Carl responded that the fact that them or anyone else who feels any kind of shame for such a simple, completely inconsequential capitalization error illustrates why the obsession with others correcting people who don't capitalize it gently or not is absurd. And then he goes on to say that as long as people are talking about it, as long as people are using WordPress, that's all that really matters. Casual users don't care about the correct casing, and rightfully so, and simply a tool for them.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Are you?
So I'm guilty of this. I'm gonna put that out there. I'm guilty too.
To me, I don't like it when I see. Well, I'm guilty to the point where I see other major news media publications.
Yes, right.
Do a lowercase p, and also it irks me when they say that Automattic is the parent of WordPress, or you know, yes, something to that effect, which is incorrect.
Now, the reason I care is because, I mean, this is my livelihood. This is something I've been passionate about for well over a decade now. I don't expect necessarily someone new to WordPress to know what they like, how they should be spelling it. And I also completely understand that for, you know, even as an English speaker, it's a really dumb way to do like type, right? Like to see it no space and have a capital in the middle of the word. Like we in English, we don't do that except with like logotype or brands. And so it's kind of outside that understanding. So if your English is a second language, especially, I don't ever expect anyone whose English is a second language to understand there should be a capital P in the middle of the word. And people who have difficulty with English or any kind of learning issue related to kind of words and things like that, I don't expect you to get it right either. I think for me though, because I'm so passionate about WordPress and because I've been, you know, in multiple different ways using it for so long, I get a little protective of it because to me, getting the brand right is important because it pays my bills. It feeds my family.
If I ever see you lowercase to P in WordPress, that's it. Press Titan. I can't, that's it. You've lost all credibility with me, buddy.
I know, right? I joke about that,
but that is actually a legit thing, a legit feeling that can happen in a WordPress space, that if Malcolm writes articles on the Press Titan blog and you see blatant misspellings of WordPress, people in the community will look at that and say, how can you be involved and active and have a job or an agency centered around WordPress and constantly misspelling it? What's your problem, dude?
Yeah. And it's because of that. And because like I mean, we've been beaten over the head with this for years. And like you said, the filter is actually in the software as well. So because it's been happening for so long, I guess it's kind of one of those things where it's like, please don't beat on me anymore. Like, I'll do whatever you want. And that's not a good introduction to this community at all. I think that is the main thing people point out in all of this. And I think that's the thing that we should all try to hold on to, is that understanding that people shouldn't have to know that this is a thing. So let's like not make it such a thing anymore.
Well, I think what it also comes down to is the way in which we inform one another on this mistake. And what the bot's doing is just stupid. It's just blatantly saying, hey, stupid, capital P, right. Dang it. Come on. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And I think it'll always be a thing, but I think, you know, for humans, not bots, that we can gently, privately say, hey, this is the correct spelling. And if you don't do it this way, you know, it's kind of not seen in the WordPress. I know it sucks that it is this way, but if you misspell it, or you know, use a lowercase p, this is how you will be viewed, or this is some of the perception that will be placed upon you. So, you know, maybe in the future, just make sure that you capitalize the P. No, camel casing WordPress all these years, you know what it's done to me? It makes me camel case words that don't need it. That's what it's done. It has actually broken me. Like gravity forms. I think the F in forms is camel cased, but I always have to double check. And there are other words that I've camel cased that absolutely don't need to be camel cased. So, you know, now I'm always double checking these words that are put together and seeing if it's camel cased or not, just to get it right.
Yeah, so like gravity forms, I don't know if it was always this way, but now they actually have like the space in the name, so it's gravity space forms.
Okay.
Rocket Genius, I think was
no, that's one of the ones I camel case the G.
Yeah, and that is not supposed to be a capital G; it's a lowercase G.
Good
and
job, you know, it's funny.
So when my business partner and I, Krog, came up with Press Titan as a name for our business, I did the exact same thing as WordPress. I made it one word, capital P, capital T. And it drives me nuts to this day that we did that. Like, we should have just done it as two separate words, because then my English brain would be okay with it. But we didn't, and it's fine, and it's whatever. But
So if I write an article about Press Titan and I lowercase the T,
I'm not going to worry about it at all, man. If anyone writes an article about my company, okay, I'm just going to be happy about it.
That's a great way to look at it. So widgets in WordPress 5.8 and beyond. I was just checking this article out earlier today. Kind of tell us a little bit about it and what, any cool insights from this?
Yeah. So I think one of the really interesting things, or one of the things that was really fun for me, was actually to see, in the images in the article, they have a big image that you can look at that shows kind of how they would build out like a block sidebar, a block comment area, a block like recent posts or a related posts area. And they show not just like the output of the design, but they also show which blocks they would have used in the list view. And I don't know if you've ever used the list view in Gutenberg before. It's super ugly in a way, but
I've seen it a few times, and it's like, wow, I'm actually using all these blocks in the post.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think that was I had a little bit of a frowny face when I saw how many blocks it was taking to do these cool things, just neither here nor there, but I still think it is probably the best way that I've seen so far in showing how we can build out these experiences with like the full page site editing using blocks. And the result is just absolutely stunning. I mean, if you have the understanding of how to do these things, or how to use blocks to create these kinds of user experiences, I think that will really be a very powerful opportunity in WordPress. I think one of the cool things too was they're looking at like the 2016 theme. I think we're in 2021 now, so this is a theme that has been around for, you know, not a short period of time in the WordPress space, and they've been able to kind of show how Gutenberg blocks can bring new power and new life to these older themes. And I think that is a super interesting kind of tangent to take this discussion on too.
Yeah, what I liked about it is the videos showing the comparison between what was possible in the classic editor or not classic yet, but the classic widget screen and the visual sort of classic widget, and the how limited you were in there, especially like the work area, the space, compared to the new block-based widget editor. And they were mm-hmm. showing examples like you could put a search block, overlay that on top of like a cover image block so that you can have a nice image behind your search bar. And then below that, you can add maybe a call to action or like what in this example, it showed some copy, but then it showed like the word open. And then you apply some JavaScript to it because it's a custom HTML block. And then based on the time of day, that open would change to closed. So you can create just with blocks and a little bit of JavaScript through the custom HTML block, you're able to create a block, you know, open, close that used to take, you know, a widget or plugin. Maybe an entire plugin just to do something like that. And now you're able to do that just with some blocks and a little bit of JavaScript code. And I thought that was neat. That was a pretty cool example.
Yeah. I don't know how many older themes are going to easily transition to this. But this post on WordPress.org probably made me the most excited I've been so far about the idea of bringing blocks to widgets.
That's, man, to hear you just say the word excited and then WordPress, man, somebody, I'm going to take a drink of Gatorade right now.
I know, it's been a while, hasn't it?
No, I'm right there with you, though. And then they also mentioned that you'll be able to copy and paste existing layouts from the WordPress pattern directory. I have not actually checked out the pattern directory yet or even looked into how to create a block pattern, but apparently that's the bee's knees right now. And to be able to just copy a pattern and put it right in your site, even in the sidebar, is going to be pretty darn cool. Now, right now, it's not actually, patterns have not been curated for integrated into the widget areas yet. So they consider that a preview of things to come and some of the possibilities. But yeah, so some of the things you could do by layering blocks, you know, you're not just limited to a widget and the output that's there. Now you could put a couple of blocks together and you can have a pretty snazzy looking widget.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see how, you know, actual end users are able to take advantage of this. I'm not a designer. I'm not a programmer. You're not a designer. You're not a programmer.
I just like to click buttons.
Yeah, how much of this is going to be easily accessible to people like you and I? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, right? I mean, it's a cool idea, but I think it still takes that you know, that vision, that understanding of how far you can push these things. And I'm curious to see how much training material, how much education, how much, you know, how many videos or opportunities that people like you and I will have to learn how far these things can be pushed. But I'm like I said, this is the most excited I've been so far in this whole Gutenberg craziness.
One of the things back in the day in the early 2000s when I first got started with WordPress was as I was learning things, I wrote tutorials. I wrote about my experience. I wrote about how I accomplished certain things in WordPress. And I'm hopeful that what we're seeing with Gutenberg and the block editor and the block widgets and these block patterns, I would like to see, and we're kind of seeing this now, but there, a lot of it right now, I think, is based in courses and what people are doing. The training material is kind of behind a paywall. I would like to see an influx of tutorials posted on people's blogs about how they're using the block editor, how they're creating blocks, how they're putting blocks together, different ingredients, different recipes of these block patterns and widgets that they're creating without using plugins, without really touching any code. I would like to see that. And then hopefully as we start seeing the community do that and everybody starts learning from each other, we could start transferring that material into the Learn WordPress project for training materials and videos and what have you. And we could just all help each other learn. Cause that was one of the cool things about the early days of WordPress is it felt like we were all on the same level and we were all trying to level each other up and we were all learning from each other. And I feel like that we're at a point in time now with what's going on in the block editor and full site editing that we could go through another wave of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be a really great thing, not just for WordPress, but for all of us. I'm always looking to try to learn and expand my skills. And any kind of opportunity to learn from others is, you know, sign me up. And yeah, the WordPress community could certainly use that little bit of a refresh in that respect, because I do feel like a lot of knowledge is starting to really be centralized into little islands, and you know, you either know or you don't know, or you have to reinvent the wheel, and that's not how it should be.
Well, about 2 to 3 years ago, I felt as though the pendulum in the WordPress scene was swayed heavily towards developers, because there were these local dev environments. It seemed like they were popping up all over the place. You had these certain toolkits or boilerplates that were popping up all over the place. And it just seemed like at that point in time, a lot of things, a lot of tools and resources and stuff were going towards the developer side of things. Now I'm starting to see and feel that's going more towards the end user way of things. And
I think there's an opportunity for that. I don't think it's quite there yet.
No, it's not there yet.
But I see the opportunity.
As we get to full site editing, and we get to see or have more opportunities to do things without knowing code, without touching code, or very minimal in the way of code, you know, I think there's a possibility there. And Tammy Lister, who works on the theme team, she mentioned this in a recent post that she did. And I think we mentioned this on last week's show, but she kind of highlights the excitement that the barriers to entry in terms of theme design and what you're going to be capable of doing in themes. There's a whole new exciting era coming to WordPress themes. And that's pretty cool.
Now, will those be free themes or paid themes?
You know, I don't know. Will they be on Etsy? That's the question.
Oh boy.
Block-based themes on Etsy. Let's go. So Mark Wilkinson, he goes by WP Mark on Twitter. He published a tweet that says, quote, "I am really beginning to wonder whether having a free plugin on the WordPress plugin repository is actually a good thing or not. The number of people who expect unlimited support for nothing is unsustainable. And because there is something free, they don't want to pay for it," end quote. And this again raised a good conversation on Twitter. And I wanted to mention a couple of replies that Scott K. Clark, the founder of the Pods plugin, what he said, he contributed to this and provided a lot of food for thought. And he says that this is tough. I can't keep up with all of my personal plugin support forms separately, and it's hard to keep up when I'm doing it all for free in my spare time. I've never received a donation for any plugin other than Pods, and that's only 0.14% donor to active installs ratio. So like barely anything, almost nothing. And then he also goes on to say that the tooling for supporting your plugin forms for one plugin isn't bad, but when you get to multiple plugins, it becomes challenging. Telling everyone you don't do support won't earn you any installs. You might as well just have all your stuff on GitHub at that point. I mean, that's a pretty good point he brings up. Mm-hmm. And he says that in a free plugin with more than one support topic weekly can easily snowball into untenable for someone doing it all for free and on the side of their normal job. So yeah, building the free plugin sounds great, and you really want to aim for high adoption. But if you don't monetize it with actual premium strategy, then you won't be able to dig yourself out of that hole. And one of the last things he says is that also no one values free plugins. So finding people who are willing to donate is a challenge. Maybe if .org could facilitate a way to donate to your favorite plugins all at once on a monthly donation, then maybe that could help, or partner with someone who could build that. And I thought he brings up a lot of good points that, you know, it's when you host a bunch of plugins on .org, you are tied to their systems, to their framework, to their way of doing things. And you can't, there's no way for like a plugin author to turn off a form and redirect people to a support solution that they can manage, that they could do or control on maybe on their site or something that's third party, somewhere off of .org. And I wonder in the future that, you know, it seems pretty tough. You know, what a kind of a crappy situation for a contributor, a plugin developer to be in, to where they get inundated with just a few plugins on .org, and just maintaining them or just being able to do support is just, it gets to the point where they don't even want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, I've kind of experienced this from the opposite side. So I worked for Rocket Genius a long time ago, And Gravity Forms is not available as like a free plugin, and then you upgrade to a paid level. It's paid right from the start, and so it's not on the WordPress.org repository. This made one, you would think it would make competition to the point where, you know, Gravity Forms could never survive, because, I mean, doesn't the plugin repository really push all the sales? No, that is not true at all, thankfully. Otherwise, you know, the stuff on like Envato's websites, Code Canyon and Theme Forest wouldn't be very successful either, because a lot of them are paid right from the start. But it's also created this weird sour experience in a different way, because what ends up happening is the people that are publishing free plugins end up really pushing very heavily towards like this upgrade early, upgrade often kind of experience, where you download the free plugin, you install, you activate it, you get blasted with ads for like, you got to upgrade to their pro to do like anything. And I completely understand why they feel the need to do that. But again, that feels like a really negative experience when, you know, you've taken your time to, you know, hunt down a plugin that has the functionality that you think you're looking for. You install it to test it out, and the first thing you get is, sorry, this is like super feature limited. You have to pay to play. And that there's that disconnect in experience and understanding, right? Because you're on the WordPress.org repository where everything's free, 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 free. So
yeah, it's WordPress is free and you get free support there. Why can't you support this for free?
Right.
And I mean, so come on. That's such a dumb expectation.
There's so many of those though, right? And it's a system of dumb expectations that just kind of continue to hamper the project as a whole. I almost wish that the WordPress.org allowed for premium plugins to be listed there. And that way we could maybe start getting away from this, like,
So it's either free or it's premium. You know, you either pay up front or it's free.
And you see this on WooCommerce. Like, WooCommerce has their own kind of, add-on repository on WooCommerce.com. WooCommerce is an automatic project at this point. They've been, you know, bought and integrated. And that experience exists there where you can say, I only want to see the free stuff. I only want to see the paid stuff. It's not as curated, of course, as I think a lot of people would like it to be, but that experience, that setting of expectations is already in place. And I think that would be super beneficial for plugin and theme authors as well on the WordPress.org repositories. I think it's kind of a mistake to continue to kind of push this idea that everything WordPress is free, or everything in WordPress has to start with a free version, or everything in WordPress has to have free support. We gotta move away from that. We're a little bit more mature than that as a project.
We're having this conversation. I think back to my Joomla days, and one of the things I disliked about Joomla is like all of the cool features I wanted to add to my site, I had to pay for. There was not a good free version to do anything that I needed to do or accomplish for my site. And that's not the case with WordPress, but with how much advertising there is in these freemium plugins. And like I said, I get it, you know, getting people to upgrade so that now your time is being paid for by these users who need support and who want to continue upgrading their plugins. I mean, I understand that model, but I don't know. I hope we don't get to a point where freemium plugins on that org just becomes the default, the standard. Like the majority of plugins that you download or want to use on that org to solve a problem are all freemium. So in one way or another, you're going to get an ad, you're going to get upsells, you're going to be told, hey, you know, there's this commercial version. You know, and when we talk about premium plugins on that org, you know, I always think back to one of the things I've said in the past is that's never going to happen. We're never going to see commercial plugins on a .org repository. And one of the major things I thought, or one of the reasons, was because of what's the word I'm thinking of? Kind of hosting somebody else's code, but not really having any control over it. I can't think of the word, but I just don't see a future. And I even want to say that Matt, even in the past, has said that the plugin directory will never have commercial plugins listed. So I don't know if it happens. It could happen. We've seen things that's never going to happen before that actually happen. So we'll see. But to me, it's gotten to the point where, I'm kind of with you. Just pay for it up front, or it's going to be free. None of this freemium stuff.
I do think that Scott has an interesting idea though, with like
allowing like a Patreon thing or some kind of like extended or continuous funding of your
aggregate funding. Yeah. We could do it by installs, right? Like we have that data. We know which plugins are being installed. And so we could do kind of like Amazon has this thing called Kindle Unlimited. And so what happens is you as a user, you pay for Kindle Unlimited and you can download as many eBooks as you want. And what happens is depending on the number of pages of, let's say, my book that has been read through Kindle Unlimited people, I get a share of the proceeds based on that percentage of pages read. For whatever they've collected, and they could easily do a very similar system for free plugins where, you know, number of installs or activations or whatever, everyone, you know, people who are interested pay in, and let's say it's anywhere from like
$5 could like set up, would it be like a profit sharing thing?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, so that org would have the repo, they would provide the foundation, they could, and since they're providing the directory, you know, it's like a storefront. We'll take a percentage of the fee, but most of it would be directed towards the plugin author, and it would be based on, like you said, maybe some usage or some kind of data that would be fair, hopefully.
right, exactly. And then that incentivizes people to really truly put effort into like their free projects to make them as good as possible, to make
encourage as much adoption as possible.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, that's
Scott solved it.
Man, Scott solved it, but yeah, let's go. but Scott's really busy over there at Pain Membership Pro. I'm glad he found him a great place to work and a great team to be involved with. And I haven't heard anything about pods lately. I wonder what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. It's probably still chugging along. Let's see. And the biggest news of the week. Yoast, the company, is joining Newfold Digital. So, and for those who don't know Newfold Digital, you're not the only ones. It turns out that Newfold Digital is actually the new EIG. Yeah. If you don't know what EIG, okay, well, you said it, not me. But EIG stood for Endurance International Group, and you may have recognized some names under that umbrella, such as Network Solutions, Bluehost, HostGator. If any of those names make you cringe, look, I'm sorry, but I'm right there with you. I mean, I've had some experiences with companies under the EIG umbrella that were just absolutely horrible. But, you know, that's individual companies and what have you. In fact, EIG, they were bought out by Newfold Digital. It was like $3 billion. It was some insane amount of money, but EIG was actually taken off the stock exchange, so you can no longer trade Endurance International Group. And there was also a fold in to web.com as well, right? Part of the acquisition with Newfold Digital. Anyways, what this all means is that the WordPress for SEO plugin, the Yoast agency, is all going to Newfold Digital. And I did not see this coming, and in fact, when I had a conversation on Twitter about family-run, multi-generational businesses, someone said, you know, if that's going to happen, it's probably going to be Yoast. Well, you can, you can take that. That's no longer the case. Yeah. The entire team, the staff, will be moving over to Newfold Digital, which is great. So there's not going to be layoffs or anything. They talk about that not much is going to change. In fact, did you know that Yoast was founded back in 2010? So they've been around about 11 years. Mm-hmm. And they've got over 100 employees. The founders, they all sold their shares to the company. And Yoast pretty much said that, you know, it was time. Like, it's funny how he described how 'tis the season, or it's in the air for acquisitions and stuff. So it's kind of coming to that point. He mentioned that he was working on, he got stuck in the success of the company, and he was so focused and busy on the financing part of the company that he really just didn't have time or the opportunities to switch to something else or to work on something else. So that's what he's going to be focused on within, I think, the WordPress team over at Bluehost. He mentioned them. And you know, the nice thing about Newfold Digital is they've got so many different companies and they're so large that he could probably pick or choose where he wants to go to to find a project to work on, to find an opportunity to mess around with. But, you know, just I imagine that the team and everyone at Yoast, the founders, they probably got a big payday. And I don't know, Yoast, I mentioned that the timer is started for Yoast DeVog to leave the company and just maybe start something new, start something fresh from scratch. He said, nope, you know, no, has no plans for that. And I said, well, yes. You know, it just seems this, and I've talked about this before. It just seems to be the standard cycle that, look, you've leveled up your company. You've got it to a point where it's been acquired. The finances, and you've taken care of your employees and the finances. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's no longer yours. Just go off into the sunset and work on whatever it is you want to work on. But, you know, he's going to stick around for a while, and he's going to hopefully.
Any bets on how long a for a while is? Six months, a year, two years?
I'm giving him 2 years.
2 years, yeah. That's pretty standard, I think, for a lot of these purchase contracts. And I mean,
and who knows? Maybe even a contract, he's required to stay there for a number of years or a certain amount of time. That's very common with founders in these acquisitions.
Yeah, because you want it to look good. You want it to feel right in the community, and you want, you know, everyone to kind of be happy and sunshine and feel like nothing's going to change. But I tell you what, man, if you're not hedging your bets and trying out Rank Math and some of the other SEO plugins that exist, I think you're a little bit of a fool right now.
And that's something else. So I was talking to somebody, and I said, well, okay, Yoast SEO, they've been acquired. Awesome Motive acquired All-in-One SEO, another big time SEO plugin last year. So what is out there in the SEO space that hasn't been acquired, or maybe it's run by an individual or an agency or whatnot? I'm not familiar with the SEO space. And is it even viable for someone to jump into the SEO space, you know, to have another Yoast or another All-in-One SEO?
Yeah, I think Rank Math is a pretty young plugin. I don't know too much about like the founders or how long it's been around or anything, but I found it to be a really great plugin in terms of helping someone who is not an expert in SEO like myself walk through the steps of kind of making my content and my posts and pages as SEO'd as possible. It's pretty idiot proof. I kind of like it. It uses less memory than Yoast on the sites that we run it on. It loads slightly faster in terms of like both backend and front end experience. It's a lighter weight plugin. I mean, I don't know. I like it. I am not saying, hey, everyone go 100% on Rank Math. I think that we're getting to, especially in the business world, getting to the point where you kind of have to hedge your bets. Like, cause as you said at the top of this, who saw this coming? I didn't see this coming. I didn't see an acquisition with EIG coming. And EIG is not a business that I currently want to work with. I mean, just to kind of put it out there, GoDaddy for a long time was one of those companies as well. I think that their business has worked really hard to try to fix some of that, those brand concerns that a lot of people in the web and WordPress space have had. And I think that they are not they're not on my instant no list anymore. But EIG as a brand is still on that instant no list. And so Yoast joining them for me is going to be an instant no. And I think I'm going to work very hard to work with my clients to make sure that they're not using that software anymore, because I have no trust that they're going to be able to keep the bad business practices of their new masters out of that plugin. I just don't.
So we never know how much these things go for, how much money is involved. But I have to imagine that an acquisition like this involving millions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, easily. Yeah. This seems like, if I had to guess, if I had to put a number out there, if someone was holding a gun to my head, I would say you're talking about probably $10 to $30 million for this acquisition, probably.
Oh, man. You know, I actually, there's some numbers for a couple of other different plugins, smaller in scope, but still very successful, and I've heard a couple million going for those. So, you know, I don't know. Oh, and I wanted to do this, so I'm going to try and do this real quick as we do the show. I'm going to take a look at the WordPress.org plugins page. I'm going to look at the CAW browse popular plugins page. Contact Form 7 is still up there. Has that been acquired by anybody? I don't think it has. Think so. Yoast SEO has. Then you've got your Elementor Classic Editor. You can't acquire that because, you know, it's, I think that's owned by WordPress contributors and whatnot. You've got WooCommerce, Akismet, Jetpack, Really Simple SSL. That's a very popular one. I don't, that hasn't been acquired yet. And you've got WordFence, Contact Form by WP Forms, WordPress Importer, Duplicate Post. Then you got Updraft Plus. I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of opportunities on the popular plugins page for acquisitions.
This was the big one.
Indeed it was. So we'll have to see. We'll have to give it time, how the product evolves. You know, it's always, you know, that when you when a company acquires something, there's no change up front, but inevitably things change.
Always.
People change, business practices change, revenue generation techniques change. I mean, so it's just a matter of the integrity and trust that Yoast has built, his agency and his team of people and his employees, if they've built over the years, how Newfold Digital keeps a hold of that and builds on top of it. And hopefully they could do that, you know, but the companies under the EIG Newfold Digital umbrella, a lot of them have bad reputations. So I will give credit though. There is one company that I think deserves some credit on being on the up and up. I think it's Bluehost. Bluehost has contributed a lot to WordPress. Yeah, they may be on the recommended hosting page at WordPress.org, but you know, aside from that, they've hired people to work on WordPress full time. They've become great sponsors for WordCamps. I think Bluehost, out of the ones that I've seen under the umbrella, probably, you know, for me, gets the most credit on being a good company to do business with.
It makes you wonder though, if they're able to kind of slowly build that up, will they lift kind of the rest of EIG as a corporation up? You know, will the rest of EIG and all their subsidiaries kind of,
you know, at the very least say, hey, look what we did here. It's not all bad.
Right.
They'd be able to look at Bluehost or some of the others and say, look what we're capable of doing, you know, with this new approach, new leadership, new company, what have you. It's not all bad. You know, we've gotten over that. That's what you would want to see.
Yeah.
But only time will tell.
Yep. I agree.
So, man, does somebody want to acquire WP Mainline? I'll sell. I mean, you give me a million. You give me a couple, you know, seven zeros, I'll take it. That's all I
need. That was fast. My goodness.
Give me seven zeros, man.
Selling already.
And this is something I think about a lot. You know, these founders of these companies, and they do these acquisitions, and like especially in the WordPress space, and millions of dollars are involved. I just think to myself, man, walk off into the sunset, your house is paid off, your kids' college tuition's paid off, you're probably set for life. At least, you know, I would be set for life with millions of dollars in an acquisition. Why bother staying in this space? Why bother continuing in the scene? Other than, you know, and that is if you don't have to, you know, based on contract obligations, why not just go off and do something new or build a garage and start a sports car collection? I don't know. You know, it's just, man.
But you kind of, I mean, WP Mainline kind of answers that question, doesn't it? there's that drive.
It does. Actually, Frost by Brian Gardner. Brian Gardner is coming back.
Another great example. Space. Yeah. Why do we do these kinds of things? Because we want to feel good at what we're doing. We want to be able to contribute in some meaningful way. And it's nice to get the money out of the way and no longer have it being the driving factor, because then you can kind of, you know, do what you're passionate about or what you really love. And if that pays off, I mean, you're just kind of laughing. And if it doesn't pay off, hopefully you made enough previously that you can kind of ride it a little bit.
Right.
And I hope that everyone who's passionate about WordPress and making it a career and a business has the opportunity, including myself at some point, hopefully, to get money out of the way and really make this, you know, all about the passion and the love of the project.
Absolutely. So I don't know who's next. There's a partnership or something involving Publish Press that was involved today, I think, with some plugins or a company. So there's these things going on. Like Yo said, 'tis the season for acquisitions. And and money just flowing all over the place. I don't know who's next. What are some big sort of individual run WordPress companies in the space that are left? I wouldn't even know.
I have to look it up, man.
I don't know. So it's, I mean, yeah. What we're starting to get now in the WordPress scene in terms of plugins and themes is like mini EIGs, where you just have one company, but you branch out and they've got this plugin and this plugin and this theme shop and this business. We're starting to kind of see that consolidation in the WordPress space. And I you know, and it's and someone had mentioned to me, because I brought this up, about how it's been years since I've talked to so many people in the WordPress space. I was looking at my direct messages on Twitter, and it's been so long since I've spoken to so many people. But I think Dave Coveney mentioned to me, he said, the WordPress space has changed so much in the last 10 years that the implementers and the tinkerers and all that have really decreased. And now it's just a bunch of plugin and theme shops and agencies now, where, you know, it's not a bunch of individuals working on individual things and trying to solve certain problems, that we've gotten to the point now where it's just big time or groups of people or companies that are doing things. And it's kind of hard for me to reach out and talk to those people or those companies, because now it's not just one person, it's a bunch of people. So I think that kind of plays into it.
You're going to have to interview entire teams at some point. That'll be kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be real great. That's real fun to manage when you're doing a podcast, all those different voices. But so outside of that, is there anything else on a docket? I think we covered pretty much most of what's going on here for this week.
Yep, but I'd agree.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up here. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPMainline.com. And subscriptions are open. So if you enjoyed this episode and you want to hear more, please go to WPMainline.com, click on the subscribe link at the top, and choose whichever option you would you feel comfortable going through with. You know, there's the Rail Buff or the Rail Fan. I think that's kind of cool terms I could use for my subscribers. Pretty neat stuff there. And Malcolm, where can people find you, and what have you been up to lately?
A lot of my time lately has been on PressTitan.com, as well as over at Camber Creative. And I am also able to be found on Twitter at Find Purpose.
Excellent. So that's going to do it for this edition of WP Mainline. Everybody have a safe, enjoyable weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday or Friday. I don't know. We'll see. Whoever's the guest co-host, we'll figure it out. So long, everybody.